This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend a warm-hearted welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry on this second Sunday in Advent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Have we reduced Christianity to nothing more than a celebration of traditions? What place does Jesus Christ really have in it? We're going to talk about that question in the service today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we draw closer to the celebration of your birth, we pray that it may be far more than simply a celebration of tradition, but rather that it may be a place where we meet the Christ, fully understanding why he came and what he can do to change our lives. As he worked in the life of a man like Zacchaeus, we give you thanks that he can work in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, and do just that. For this is our prayer. Amen. Friends in Christ, if I am right in my thinking, many people do not give any spiritual thought to what Christmas is all about. It is reduced to building traditions or celebrating traditions, but little is said about Jesus and his birth. But for those of us who identify ourselves as Christians, we need to explore Jesus' answer to some of these very important questions that we deal with during this season in the church. Last week, we had a person asking Jesus, "Why did you decide to leave the carpenter shop and present yourself as the promised Messiah and the Savior of the world?" And we learned through Jesus' words this things. I didn't decide to leave the carpenter shop and to go into religious work simply on my own. I was sent here as a part of the Godhead to point men and women to Jesus Christ, I was sent. And that was the emphasis that we had on last week's sermon. Today we ask the question to Jesus, and we want Jesus to answer these questions, not another person. Why did you come to earth, Jesus? And Jesus very specifically said, in but a few words, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And then let him explain what he means by this. But I came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'd like to take you back to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, to one of my favorite texts. It is the story of Zacchaeus. And the Bible tells us that they entered into Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. People like a crowd. Just imagine the people who wanted to take a look at Jesus. Here was a man who was one of the greatest preachers of the day. Wouldn't you want to hear Billy Graham in his prime if you could have had that opportunity? Here was a man who had healed the sick. He had raised the dead. And the story was around that he had fed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He's coming to Jericho. Why in the world would we not use the time and the effort to get out there and to take a look at him? And among those who wanted to see Jesus was a person by the name of Zacchaeus, who is described as a tax collector and very rich. So they had all assembled, and here came Jesus and his crowd. As they walked down the path, they began to look at him as he walked up to the sycamore tree, for that's where little Zacchaeus had gone. He couldn't get over the crowd. He couldn't see what was going on the street. So he got up into that sycamore tree, and Jesus walked right over to it, and he said, Zacchaeus, how did he know my name? Come down right away. I need to go to your house today. One leap, and Zacchaeus was on the ground. Now that sent the crowd grumbling, for it says that they uttered these words, he has come to be the guest of a sinner. True that Zacchaeus was a sinner. He was very rich only because he had overtaxed the people, and while it was within the limits as far as Rome was concerned, the people all knew that he was getting altogether too much money from them. So Zacchaeus took Jesus, and kind of proud he was, probably thought, well, he'd like to get into the nicest house in town. So they went to that beautiful mansion, came to the door, opened it, and Zacchaeus shouted at his wife, we have a guest today. And she came and met Jesus of Nazareth. How could it be that he would come even if our home was lovely? Why could he come and be with us alone? Now, from here on, people, you have to let your imagination go to get the better of this particular parable. He walked through that house. Zacchaeus showed him his study, the gorgeous living room, the beautiful dining room, and the bedroom where, if he could stay overnight, he might sleep. So it was quite an experience and far from what Jesus was used to. After a while, they sat down at the table, and they were fed by the servants. They had a good meal, and they chit-chatted about the wind and the weather, family and friends, and how things were going in the Roman Empire, just like we would do today. But finally, Jesus stepped aside, and he said, Zacchaeus, could we go into that lovely study of yours, I'd like to have a very personal, private conversation with you. And Mrs. Sakaeus was more than willing to let them go, and into the study they went. Well situated, Jesus looked into the face of Sakaeus and he said, "Tell me about yourself." Now that's what I would call a very personal confrontation. A very popular man like this, a very famous man already, wanting to know about what I did. So Sakaeus said, "Well, I'm a tax collector. You can obviously see that I've made a lot of money. And I get along very, very well. We have everything that we need, plus a lot more." And then Jesus said, "Well, it's interesting, Sakaeus, because I note that these people don't like you very well. In fact, I think some of them probably even hate you. What did you do to them?" And Sakaeus hurries and says, "Well, you know, Lord, you are a student of people, and jealousy can do some vicious things. They think that I have stolen from them. I have not broken one law as far as the Roman Empire and taxes are concerned. Oh, it is true that I have overtaxed them, because you can get whatever you want as long as it's within the confine of this Roman law. That's what I've done. And these people hate you, and you can get along with that all right? You find your fun and fancy and a beautiful home and servants and all the nice things? Yes, I can." Well, Sakaeus, you are a very unhappy man. You are a very insecure man. You need help. And that's why I have come. Let me tell you, Sakaeus, some time ago, I preached what they have now called the Sermon on the Mount. And there's a portion in this sermon that I believe applies to your life very well. This is what I said to my audience that day. "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." Isn't that a picture of yourself? You have stored up for yourself on this earth all kinds of treasures. But back in your mind, you realize they can serve you only until you die. And how do you get security after that? Money can't do it. Works can't do it. How do you get that security? No, Sakaeus, but rather, you should store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because notice this, Sakaeus, and I know right now where your treasure is. So I tell you, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You have taken that almighty dollar, that money, and you have made an idol out of it. You have made a god out of it, and you're not in very good shape in any sense of the word, because your god will fail you. And then what will you do as far as eternity is concerned? Here's another part that I think you should understand, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. Sakaeus, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But don't worry about if your money is going to last. Don't worry if you'll continue to get good earnings. Don't wonder if Rome will employ you in the position you're in. Sooner or later, you're going to have to give up this money. Sooner or later, it's going to fail. You know, I'm talking to you, Sakaeus, about money. Down the way, I had to remind a lady that it was not right to live with many men. There are all kinds of sins, but yours is money. and it's between you and God. Now, Zacchaeus, you are a lost man. But I've got a gospel for you. You know why I came? I came because I knew in Jericho there was a person by the name of Zacchaeus. You need me in your life. Listen to this. For God so loved the world, Zacchaeus, and you're a part of this world, that he gave his only begotten son. He gave us, gave me, the greatest gift that a person can get. That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Saying that if you will receive me as your Savior and your Lord, Zacchaeus, in the beauty of this study, if you will only do that, then you will be granted the forgiveness of your sins and the promise of life everlasting and eternity will be yours. To date, you have not received me. I could leave this house and you'd be as pagan as you were when I came in. And your God would still be your money. But I've come to change your life, and I offer it to you now. Think about it. Time to go to bed. Good night. And then comes the morning, and Zacchaeus and Jesus are sitting, eating their breakfast as the servants wait on them. And Zacchaeus looked at Jesus and said, Lord, I haven't slept a wink. I have thought of what you have said. I have looked at my money. I got up and I counted all my stocks and my bonds and my cash. And I am a very, very wealthy man. But he cannot see me through. I need you. I need you in my life. I need a Savior. I need a Lord to direct me. And for that reason, I make my decision today. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Please, please, come in. Hearing that, our Lord said, I want the people who are again assembling at your front door to hear your confession. So hand in hand, they went out to the porch. And there Jesus introduced the new Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus has a word to say to you, friend. And this is what he says. My friends of Jericho, I have sinned against you. And therefore, I'm going to give you half of my possessions to go to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount. If I cheated from you the equivalent of $100, you get $400 coming. Go to my office downtown and tell them what you need. And then he turned back to Jesus. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this man's house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Did he become a son of Abraham? Did he become a saved man because he had given all of this money to the poor? Is that the way you do it? Not at all. That gift was simply a fruit of faith because the first thing that Zacchaeus had to do was to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's why Christ came, not to be a fundraiser. For the poor, as good as that is, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and Zacchaeus was lost. And therefore, he is offering him salvation. Today, salvation has come to this man's house because he has received me, and the result of that salvation is his new type of behavior. You see here before you a brand new person. A brand new person. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Friend, that's why Christ came. To make Zacchaeus new. To make you and me new. It is not simply to utter these words, I came to seek and to save the lost. You'd heard that all along. But you're the lost one. Without Christ, you, me, we are lost. And that's why, when you look at Bethlehem's manger, you understand what the answer to the question is from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. I came to seek you. The last 3 weeks have been rather stressful for me. For my wife has been in a beautiful place of caring for the very, very helpless. She has been there in a nursing home. Very good. But it's a nursing home. And so as a part of being there, she has invited me to have lunch with her every noon. And so there we sit with a dozen or so people, letting them expound, letting them hear what others are saying, listening carefully myself. I sit beside a man whose hands are practically paralyzed. He can hardly get the food into his mouth. I ask him if he wants some help. He says, no, I'll do it. That determination. But that man is suffering. A few weeks or months before he went into that home, his wife, the healthier of the two, died. Oh, how he needed her. And oh, how he has suffered with pain, emotional and physical. And he looked into my face and he said, I don't know. And I could say, as his pastor and his friend, look, it isn't going to be long, John. It isn't going to be long. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that a great message? That's why he came. So my friend, if you're one of those who have reduced Christmas to nothing more than a sort of a rehearsal, living again, a celebration of tradition, won't you make it more? Won't you ask Jesus into your life? Oh, friend, that'll make it rich. And no matter how many years we might have lived with Christ, again to be reminded that the reason for his coming was to seek and to save that which was lost. And in him we are not lost, but we are saved for all eternity. Amen.
Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy
Oh, joy.
Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, help us to understand how those words apply to our lives. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Help us to understand that outside of Christ we are the lost. We may have all kinds of possessions. We may have nothing. But if we have Jesus, then it can be said from the Savior himself, today salvation has come to this person's house. Today, O God, we pray for those who are outside of Christ. May they have the experience of receiving him into their lives. We pray, O God, for those who are sick, shut in our various institutions, no matter how nice they are, no matter how friendly the people are, no matter how good the food is, we need a Savior. So minister to them wherever they are, whoever they are, and in whatever spiritual state they are, that they may come to understand why you came to earth on Christmas. Amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. During this busy Advent season, we pray today's gospel message has allowed you to focus on the true meaning of the season, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for a thoughtful gift for a person who has everything? Well, consider a gift of Christian Crusaders Holiday Sermons. This set of 5 Christmas-themed sermons on audio CD, attractively packaged and ready for giving, is available for a suggested donation of just $10. Please call our office at 1-888-693-2484 to order. That's 1-888-MY-FAITH. This gift set can also be ordered on our website at christiancrusaders.org. You might also consider our DVD series, Basic Biblical Truths, for your holiday gift giving. Each volume in this 5-disc set contains an original and powerful 20-minute message by Reverend Larson. These DVDs are available for a suggested donation of $10 each or $50 for the complete set. Basic Biblical Truths can also be ordered online by calling 1-888-MY-FAITH. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously every Sunday since 1936.